Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, moral turpitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is Thursday, June 4th, 2020. And I have some bad news for y'all, much as I hate to say this. Speaking with my funders and everyone else involved with research and all of that for this broadcast, looking at the stats that we get a year after we began this. We are a year old. Tomorrow would be the day we would renew for another year. But having sat down and discussed the stats, how many live views we get, how many hits we get throughout the week, you know, on, like, for example, like Wednesday, for example, we don't do a broadcast. So we look and see what the numbers look like on Wednesday. People streaming the archives. Saturday, we don't do a broadcast. Sunday, we don't do a broadcast. So we look at those days as well to see how many people are looking, are visiting and streaming and downloading the archives. We also look at the stats page where we can actually look at per episode, and we can see how many hits each episode gets and such things as this. We look at the live views, we look at the archive hits, we look at how many live streamings and how many downloads there have been, such things as that. We've looked at all of this, and collectively, as a group, I was outvoted. I wanted to go for another year, but everyone else decided that we don't get, and I agree with them, we do not get the hits that we had hoped we would be getting a year into this. In fact, our best day ever was, I believe, last Thursday. If I remember correctly, let me pull it up here and I'll tell you exactly what we got and exactly what day it was. Stats. It was the 30th of last month, 30th of May, and that was a Tuesday. And that is the best day ever we had, with a total of 26. And that topped our previous best day, which was August 10th of last year, which was 19. In fact, most days, 50% of the time, we don't go above 5 for a day. So, taking all of this into consideration, we just decided that let's go here to episodes and let's scroll down and we see Yeah, see, most days we don't hit 5, 6, sometimes 7, and that's the best we get on our numbers most days. And so, most, as I said, I wanted to go for another year, but everyone else had said no. They, with the amount of time and the energy that we put into doing an hour 4 days a week, it doesn't justify the amount of time we actually, and I agree with them, we actually did expect that by this time, a year into doing this, we expected our numbers to be more, at 40 and 50 per day is what our target was. And I agreed that if we did not hit our target a year in, that it wasn't going to be worth continuing another year. And this is coming from, I've been doing this since 2009. So I've been on various different platforms, of course, and other networks. And so I know what kind of numbers I should be getting after a year, and not getting the numbers that we should be getting a year into this on BTR. It just makes no sense to continue with another year's subscription. Because it's their money, not mine. It is their money that paid for this. It cost me absolutely nothing to do this. This was their money that was used to do this. And they were the ones that said, well, what would be our target a year in? I said, well, a year in we should be getting 40 to 50 hits a day. And if we don't get that, then really it makes no sense to be doing this. Here we are a year later, and they're saying, you did tell us 50 hits a day would be typical for a year in. And so I am having to live up to my word. And I've always been a man of my word. I would love to continue doing this because I really enjoy doing what I do, but it is what it is. So tonight will be our last broadcast. I may every once in a while do a little something, and if I do, I'll post it. And if you subscribe to, if you're a subscriber or following or whatever you want to call it, you'll get a notice whenever I do post something. But we will still be continuing every Sunday, 3 hours every Sunday on Spreaker.com. And that's every Sunday from 7 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. So we will still be doing that. Spreaker.com, the channel of Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. So you'll at least have that every Sunday for 3 hours. So, moving on, let's get right to it. I'm going to need to kill the volume here so that I will be able to turn up the volume on the speakers so that when I play, because I've got some audio clips that are on, I believe I'll have some audio clips which are online only, so I'll have to actually resort to those. I don't want, when I click on those, I don't want to have to be caught with, you know, the broadcast audio in the background. First up, concerned citizens of D.C. protests have finally... made a list of demands in writing. And this, you can find it on Just Paste It. Let me drop that chat in the chat room here. Scroll down. Okay, I need to refresh so I get the chat room popped up. There it goes. All right. Two in the chat room here. I've got Bringing It Boy and Hamstrap in the chat room. Welcome, guys. Bringing It Boy says, two closed fist bumps to the chest to you, SLL, whatever that means. I have no idea what that means, but... Clarify. Anyway, Hamstrap, Bringing It Boy in the chat room, welcome. Thanks for joining me this evening. This will be tonight's episode. I don't know if you caught it or not, but tonight's episode will be the last here on BTR. We will not be renewing our subscription. But hey, we'll still be on Spreaker. Okay, so... there's the link in the chat room there if you want to look this up. We are, and this was posted for immediate release. We are simply concerned citizens of Washington, D.C. We want to bring organization to the White House protests while bringing us all under a common goal. Seeing all of us as protesters want justice, we, the people, have formed a list of demands that we would like both the local D.C. municipality as well as the federal government to address with swift actions. They are as follows. Go to Just Paste It, or justpaste.it/3. BZVI, those are all lowercase letters, and you can read the list of chats or the list of demands. I'm not going to address all of them because I think a lot of it is bullshit, personally, because you shouldn't have to make a list of demands for this stuff to be done, like charges for the four officers involved in the death of George Floyd. There are no charges you could bring against any of those four because they did not actually commit any kind of crime of any nature, and therefore there is nothing you could charge them with. They did get fired, okay? They weren't put on administrative leave like most cops around the country do when they do something stupid like this. They were fired. Be happy. Okay? They were fired. They will never work law enforcement again. But they did not commit any kind of crime, and there's no kind of crime that you could charge them with. Justice for Breonna Taylor and charges for all officers involved in her extrajudicial killing. I agree with that. But again, the only officers that should be charged are the ones who are actually involved in her death. Beyond that, there's nothing you could charge anybody with. So, you know, and decriminalizing of marijuana. I'm all for that. But Now you're trying to bring shit into this that has nothing to do with George Floyd. Okay? Stick to the issue. George Floyd and the killing of innocent people. I'm not saying black people, innocent people, period. Again, where are all the people screaming and bitching other than people like me and other, you know, and others every time anyone in it? Where was all the bitching when the elderly white couple in New York had their house raided at 2 o'clock in the morning and killed? Oops, sorry, wrong house. Seriously? You got a no-knock warrant, but you couldn't even get the address right? And now people are dead? How about the white teenager was tased and died on a city bus? Where was the outrage over that? We could go on and on and on. And, oh, by the way, would it interest you to know that there are twice as many white people killed by blacks every year than there are blacks killed by whites? And that 70% of all blacks killed are killed by other blacks? Oh, but that doesn't matter, does it? Okay? So, I'm not going to get into any of these other ones except for number 6, D.C. statehood. The 700,000 Washingtonians in D.C. are the living, breathing example of taxation without representation. We have all the same obligations, but none of the same rights. They got but now of the same rights. You can't even spell right, seriously. This became clearer this week when Trump deployed military against peaceful protesters in a minority-majority 47% black locale. That would have never been able to happen if D.C. had statehood. Seriously? Look around, asshat. Okay? But I'm going to explain to you ignorant fools out there why D.C. is not and should never be a state. With Washington, D.C.'s mayor calling for November vote on statehood, it raises the question, why wasn't the nation's capital made a state in the first place? First, it's worth remembering that Washington, D.C. was not always the capital. George Washington first took office in New York City, and then the capital was moved to Philadelphia, where it remained for a decade. Washington, D.C. was founded as the capital in 1790 as a result of a compromise between Alexander Hamilton in the northern states and Thomas Jefferson in the southern states. Hamilton's economic policies consolidated power in the banker and financiers who primarily lived in the north, so the compromise was moved the capital basically more south to appease Jefferson and southern leaders who feared northern control of the nation. But the lack of statehood for the capital is enshrined in the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the document reads, quote, Congress shall have the power to, there's a whole list of things there, but one of them says, exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square and may by session of particular states and the acceptance of Congress became the seat of the government of the United States. This is why this clause right here was put here for a reason. We'll get to that a little bit deeper here in a minute. But this is why you have states' rights and federal law. You can go state by state by state, and you can find variances and differences with respect to law from state to state to state. Why? Because states' rights and state laws are allowed to vary and differ from federal statute and law. But there are federal laws on the books which are mandatory by state. But not every federal law is mandatory on a state. Only specific ones. You see, they don't teach civics in school anymore. And this is the problem that we're having. You people out there making these idiot demands, you don't know how government works because they're not teaching it to you in school. Now, James Madison outlined the reasoning behind this provision in Federalist 43, calling the arrangement a, quote, indispensable necessity. He wrote, "The indispensable necessity of complete authority at the seat of government carries its own evidence with it. Without it, not only the public authority might be insulted and its proceedings interrupted with impunity, but a dependence of the members of the general government of the state comprehending the seat of the government for protection in the exercise of their duty might bring on the national councils of imputation of awe or influence equally dishonorable to the government and dissatisfactory to the other members of the Confederacy." End quote. In other words, the founders worried that if the capital were to become a state, the members of the government would be unduly beholden to the state itself and not to the federal overall. Madison envisioned that voting members of a D.C. state would be able to insult or interrupt the proceedings of government to get their way simply by virtue of physical proximity to the halls of power. This is why D.C. has never been and should never be a damn state. If you want broader representation, move the fuck out of D.C. That's my advice to you. Find somewhere else to go. That's how that works. It's called voting with your feet. You don't like the way shit is? Pack the fuck up, get the fuck out, go somewhere else. That's how simple this is. Now, and that's the only one that I'm going to cover on that issue. In the chat room, Bringing a Boy says, "Art, that's all they want. Fuck, give it to them." But as you see, that ain't all they want. Go and look at their demands. I dropped the chat in the chat. I dropped the link in the chat room to where you can find it. Go look it up. All right, first on the list here, decades of demands to end systematic racism and the need for more people of color in high office positions to make this a reality. Okay, this is real simple. For decades, we've heard the likes of Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and others continuously running their mouth about there's not enough black people or people of color in these positions of power, and that's why we have this systematic racism, and until we have more, we're never going to get any change, and blah, 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 blah. Well, let me see. Minnesota. In Minneapolis, you have a black chief of police. Minnesota has a black attorney general. In the city of Minneapolis, the vast majority of your council members are black or people of color. Your police chief's second in command is black. The majority of your members of city council are people of color. The greater majority of all of your high-ranking officials in the Minneapolis area are people of color, yet you still have this problem. You got what you wanted. You got a majority of people of color in these positions of power. You hold the majority. But yet you still have the problem. I don't know what more you want. Go out to L.A. The district attorney, black woman. Yet, you know, and you have, you know, oh, and also in Minneapolis, you have a majority of black officers. Or at least that's the way I understand it. So what's the problem? And this, you find this all across the country. You get more and more people of color in these positions of power, yet nothing changes. You're getting what you want. You got more and more people. And this is all across the country. More and more people of color in positions of power, yet you still have the problems. Am I the only one that sees this? This is ridiculous. And now in L.A., Bring the Boy says, I just read the list and that's the best they come up. Yeah. Can you figure that's the best they got? It's pretty sad. Again, folks, just do a search. And the article's headline, Concerned Citizens D.C. Protest Demands. And it's ridiculous. Okay. Cuomo. Oh, this was precious. I was going to say L.A. let me get this down out of the way and make sure that I don't. Oh, okay. We're going to get to this in just a minute. This is going to be great. But first up, Chris Cuomo gets the. Oh, this is precious. You got to hear this. Please tell me the video is still there. This was beautiful. I don't know if it's gonna work or not, but New York City, New York Governor Chris Cuomo is a law school graduate, licensed attorney. They took the video down. Ah, damn it. But not Mayor Cuomo, CNN host Chris Cuomo, law school graduate, licensed attorney. But he has no idea what the First Amendment says. Just Tuesday, on his show, he rebuked those who see the protests as a problem and demand that riot critics. Well, here's what he said, quote, "Now too many see the protest as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent poisonous inequities and injustice. And please show me where it says protesters are supposed to be polite and peaceful, because I can show you that outraged citizens are what made the country what she is and led to any major milestone. To be honest, this is not a tranquil time." Okay, here we go. Hopefully we get this going
now,
here.
Too many see the protest as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets, persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite.
Chris, that would be the First Amendment. And it goes like this, and this is a quote. "Congress shall make no law respecting or an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom to free speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to the petition the government for redress of grievance." Notice the words peaceably to assemble. Doesn't say riot. Doesn't say looting. Doesn't say burn shit down. It says peaceably to assemble. You wanted to know? There you go. You are a fucking idiot. A complete and utter fucking idiot. Next up. L.A. Now this has got a clip online. An audio clip online here. Los Angeles City Council members on Wednesday introduced a motion to cut up to $150 million in funding to L.A. Police Department. Oh, yeah.
So let's grab our brushes and put some finishing touches on it.
Oh, I hate that darn commercial.
Well, protesters in Los Angeles have been demanding police reform all week, and today Mayor Eric Garcetti said he's heard them loud and clear.
"This is bigger than just a budget, but I want you to know we will not be increasing our police budget.
Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti announced the city will find $250 million in budget cuts in every department, including the LAPD.
Now, what you got there, okay, $250 million in budget cuts. 150 of that is police funding. Can you say a lot of cops are going to, like, say, screw this shit? The L.A. riots are likely to return, only this time when it does, it's going to make the L.A. riots of the 70s look like a walk in the park. It just... Oh, shit. Currently, the mayor's budget provides a 7% spending increase for the LAPD and nearly $41 million in bonuses, with the department taking up nearly 18% of the city's overall $10.5 billion budget, the Los Angeles Times reports. I don't see how they're going to, let me see, instead Garcetti, let me see, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti on Wednesday said that in light of recent unrest over police brutality and Floyd's death, he will not increase funding for the LAPD. Instead, Garcetti announced during a briefing that he has identified $250 million from the city's budget that will be invested in jobs, health, education, and healing focuses in L.A. black community. He explained that cuts will be made in every department, including the LAPD. Now, notice he says 250 here in overall budget cuts. $150 million will be cut from the police department funding. And they're going to focus the investment of this money into black communities. And the whole reparations conversation has come up again. I don't know how you folks plan on doing this reparations thing, because nobody alive today had anything to do with what happened back then. And none of the people alive today were slaves back then. And the vast majority of black people today are not descendants of slaves. I mean, I was reading an article the other day, was talking about some 30-something thousand dollars reparations per black person. What the hell? Seriously? Here's I'm going to open this one up because this plays right into what we're talking about here. This is BET founder, that's Black Entertainment Television, Bob Johnson unveils a $14.7 trillion reparations plan, and he says he wants everybody to look at it as an investment. An investment? Are you freaking kidding me? So let's play this clip for you, because this is just stunning. This is Fox News Channel, and I don't know if this is Bret Baier. I don't watch TV, so I'm not exactly sure who some of these characters are, but I think this is Bret Baier. But listen to this.
Ideas about how the country can come together during a time of strife. Entrepreneur Bob Johnson has a proposal to address one major area of contention. He joins us tonight. Bob, thanks for being here. I want to first get your overall feelings after days of these protests and what we've seen on the streets, the riots, really protests turned into riots and looting. Your thoughts on all of this, 30,000 foot.
Well, Brett, thanks for having me on the show tonight. I've been around long enough to have witnessed the Detroit riots. And those riots were far more dangerous in terms of both people, police, and bystanders than the riots and protests you see here. I think we have to look at this in a total context. And part of that context is people have a right to protest when they see injustice. That goes all the way back to Dr. Martin Luther King's Civil Rights March. On the other hand, we have to go to the root cause of people protesting that leads to violence, whether it's agitator violence or it's just violence because people feel frustrated and bitter. And one of the issues, and again, referring to back in Detroit and the Kerner Commission report, the Kerner Commission report said, and I quote, "This country is moving towards between black and white to two nations separate and unequal." So to me, the fundamental cause is the economic inequality that African Americans as a whole face in this nation. And unless we move aggressively to solve that problem, just as the Detroit riots happened in 1968, this riot will be the foundation of future riots unless we solve that problem.
Well, you know, I say bring it the hell on. Bring it on. I guarantee you, we won't lose. But they're talking about they want to do this $14.7 trillion reparations plan. First of all, you know, I see Green Beasley popped in the chat room. Welcome for however long you're going to stay. And I only say that because you never stay very long. But here's the problem you have with this. First of all, you're going to have to do DNA. Somehow you're going to have to figure out who is descendants of slave owners. Now, I can tell you for a fact, my family ain't never owned a slave. My family been here. I'm the 10th generation. I was born in 63. Now, if you do the math, they say a generation is generally 25 years long. A generation is every 25 years. Okay. Well, 25 years times 10, that's 250 years. So if we go back 250 years, let me pull up my little calculator here. And 2020 minus, well, actually, there's me and my two sisters, we now have children and they have children. So we actually have to do, well, 30 divided by, or I'm sorry, so that would be 30 generations. I'm sorry, that would be 10, 11, that would be 12 generations. Okay, so let's clear that out. 25 times 12, that's 300 years. So if it's now the year 2020 and we minus 300 years, that means my family has been on this soil since 1720. See, and he left. I told you, he never stays. Oh, no, there he is. He's, so that means my family's been here since 1720. When was this country founded? The War for Independence kicked off in 1776. That means that my family had already been here for two generations before the Civil War kicked off. And ain't nobody in my family ever owned a slave. Not one. In fact, my family were slaves. And I'm white. Now, to coin a phrase, I believe, family history tells us we got a few niggas in the woodshed. That's what our family history tells us. So I'm not purely white. Okay. Well, since I got some black blood in me, do I qualify for some reparation payments? Oh, wait a minute. I ought to get a double dip in there because my white ancestors were slaves. So I ought to be getting me a double dipping, right? That means instead of 30-something thousand, or I'm sorry, 3,000-something odd dollars, I ought to be getting 6,000-something odd dollars, or $4,000. Right? Because, I mean, I'm a double victim, right? I'm just saying, but how are you going to decide? How are the, you know, the vast majority of black people in this country are not descended of slaves. They're not. And the vast majority of white people are not descendants of slave owners. So how are you going to decide who pays and who receives? You start trying to take anything from me, I'm going to show you some damn destruction. I will show you how to riot, because I will seriously fuck some shit up. You ain't going to hold me responsible for something I had nothing to do with. And I heard on Glenn Beck this morning, I can't remember his name, but there was a sports celebrity was interviewed on Glenn Beck today, and he actually came out and he said, this whole, they're trying to play the slavery card here. He said, that's all poo-poo, because there were white slaves back then too. But nobody wants to hear that. Don't nobody want to hear that, because it doesn't play into the agenda. Okay, so I just don't get it. I really do not get where these people are coming for. Yeah, see, and now he left. See, he never stays very long. But that's okay, because tonight's the last, our last BTR broadcast anyway. And for those of you just tuning in, we had a discussion between me and those who funded this. They paid for a year up front for me to do this because they believed that what I do, my voice needed to be heard. And we discussed from the very beginning what our target audience would be. And if we did not reach a certain threshold, that it would not warrant continuing. And since I've been doing this since 2009, I told them that a year in, if I'm not drawing at least 50 people a day, then it really isn't worth the energy to do it. Because back then I was doing it for free. It didn't cost anything back then. That we were, these platforms were just getting started, so it was for free. Now we have to pay for it, and if we're going to pay for it, we should at least be making the same numbers. We should still have the same numbers, at least. And the best we've had was 29 views, which was last on the 30th of last month, which was a Tuesday. And that's 29 views for the day. That is our best number since we started doing this a year ago. So tonight will be our last broadcast, because I told them that if we weren't hitting that number a year in, then it made no sense for them to continue defunding. And here we are a year later, and we were just barely made half of our target audience. And I've always been a man of my word, so I'm sticking to it. But I'll still be on Spreaker as long as RZ wants to let me stay there. I'll still be on Spreaker every Sunday. So we don't have a whole lot of time left. Remember after, I forget who it was. Oh, it was who it was had it died last year, and we had people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson made this big to-do where they gave little speeches at the funeral, and they used it to go political and bash the Trump administration. Well, here's Al Sharpton at a memorial service for George Floyd.
I saw somebody standing in front of a church the other day which had been boarded up as a result of violence. Held the Bible in his hand. I've been preaching since I was a little boy. I never seen anyone hold a Bible like that, but I'll leave that alone.
Okay. That was Al Sharpton talking about Donald Trump and the way he stood in front of the church there that had been vandalized. But he stood in front of that church, and he's criticizing the way Donald Trump was holding the Bible. Dude, why do you assholes, why do these motherfuckers have to make everything a political issue? Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, you know, other people like this. A memorial service for George Floyd is not the place for political statements. And you've been preaching for I don't give a shit how many damn years you've been preaching. Okay? You are not the end-all be-all of how to hold a damn Bible. I say sit your sorry black ass down. Shut the fuck up. It's people like you that give black people bad names. But you and Jesse, you just can't help. Oop, gonna be a camera there. Let me get in there, get my word in. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, two people that never let a that never pass up an opportunity to get in front of the camera. And I'd like to take both of these motherfuckers out back and beat the snot out of them. I seriously would. Nothing would give me greater pleasure than to take that motherfucker out back and beat his fucking ass. Bringing it boy in the chat room says, last I remember, Bible didn't come and scratch and sniff. Beautiful. But who in the hell is Al Sharpton to be telling anybody how you hold a Bible up in the air? Google holding Bible in the air. I'm serious, man. I did this when I first when I heard Jesse Jackson say, Al Sharpton say this. When I heard Al Sharpton say he'd been preaching for however many years, he ain't never seen nobody hold a Bible like that. I went to Google and I typed holding Bible in the air. And I did images. So, and as soon as all the images popped up, guess what I saw? I saw images of people holding the Bible in the air the exact same way Donald Trump was doing it the other day. I guess Green Beasley didn't like what I said. That's all right. That's one of these characters that has never, ever contributed to a conversation. In all the whole time I've been doing this, he's not once contributed, not really, to the conversation. He might make snotty-ass comments every once in a while, but I don't pay no attention to that shit. Most, if not all, descendants of the American slaves are a product of child rape. That was his comment, which is not true. That is not true. I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but the majority of them were not a result of child rape. That's bullshit. Here's something to fill some time. Did you know that tear gas could worsen the symptoms of coronavirus and prompt more spreading? Yeah, well, I don't know if Green Beasley is a troll. Now, you want to talk about a troll, somebody I've not seen in a while, and that's Purple Pill, would pop in and say something real shitty and then leave real quick. But he messed up one day. He stayed a little too long, and I was actually able to tag his IP. Anyway, tear gas could worsen the symptoms of coronavirus and prompt more spreading. And they say this is because when you are hit with tear gas, it causes you to cough. And all of that coughing and everything is going to agitate the symptom. Well, it's not agitating the symptoms of coronavirus. It's making you cough because that's what it's meant to do. Okay? But they say all that extra coughing helps to spread coronavirus. And standing shoulder to shoulder in a thick, heavy crowd, breathing all over each other,
nobody wearing a mask? I'm sure that had nothing to do with it. And here's another thing, since we're talking about this goofy-ass bullshit. Isn't it interesting? You can't open up a hair salon to make money to feed your children, but you can protest and riot in the fucking streets. What? Seriously? This is the kind of bullshit we're dealing with today. There is no common sense anywhere in this country anymore. At least not on the level that you would think. Grown-ass adults acting like fucking animals and then want to bitch and complain because they're treated like animals. Well, if you don't want to be treated like a damn baboon, don't act like one. Because as long as you act like an animal that's out of control, the zookeepers will be sent in to get you under control. The way it is. Okay, that is it for our last episode of BTR. Again, you can still catch us every Sunday on Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. And since we're talking about... Bring It Boy says, I just wet my pants. What do I do? Handy wipes, my friend. Handy wipes. You know, and when you're done there, you'll dust it with dust yourself with some talcum powder and put on a fresh diaper. Anyway, since we mentioned Spreaker, Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof. Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. American Renegade with me, your not so humble and absolutely arrogant host, Art Underground, for 3 hours coming at you, taking no prisoners, pulling no punches, and not giving a shit who I offend. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Suzette Live Talk. While I may not always comment in the chat room, I am always there listening. Something to keep in mind. That's called ghosting. Anyway, Suzette Live Talk every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Definitely worth listening to. She brings a woman's perspective to all of this mess. And she ain't no dummy. Wednesday Night Instrumentals with Art, 7 p.m. Eastern. 3 hours playing your favorite music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and yes, even today, karaoke style. And the my collection of karaoke is growing at incredible rates. Every Wednesday I sit down for at least 4 hours, and I just download as much as 2 to 3 dozen new tunes. So my library is growing crazily, but always love to have you there. Thursday night tunes with RZ playing for you some of his favorite music. And he's got some pretty interesting stuff. I always enjoy listening to him. Again, I may not always comment in the chat room, but I am always listening. And that's at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. On Friday nights, spend a night with Smokey as he plays for you some of his favorite music. Again, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And on Saturday, RZ's Saturday Free Speech Zone. Taking it to it, giving it to you as only RZ can. Always an interesting listen as well. So there you go. Spreaker.com, the channel Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. Finishing up in the chat room here. I do the Irish way. I just out cabbage leaves. If you're a criminal, if you open a business, but a hero, if you burn one down. Yeah, ain't that some shit, right? 911, they ran out of the fire 19 years later, running into the fire. Go figure. Anyway, thanks for, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. Hope it's been insightful and informative. Again, tonight is our last broadcast. So from here on, Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. And you've got almost an entire week of news and music. Pick your choice, or pick one, pick two, pick them all. They're all worth hanging out with. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for hanging out this evening. Hope it's been insightful and informative. Remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. Till next time, on Spreaker, I'm Art Underground. Be safe out there.
Gonna make it, you're free.